हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So then we have the Paramatmasandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 2, the Lord's actions are without hatred or prejudice. There is a function of the Sarup Shakti, which is the highest essence called Haladini. The essence of the Haladini is Bhakti. That Bhakti called Rati always exists in the Lord and his devotee. Thus it is said, Bhagavan Bhakti Bhakti Bhaktiman. The Lord has devotion to his devotee, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:86-59. Thus, there is no destruction of satisfaction in the Lord, since the Lord is satisfied by the devotion, part of the Lord's Sarup Shakti situated in the devotee. So the Lord has the Sarup Shakti, and this Sarup Shakti, we see then has this aspect of Ladini. Within that, you have that devotional aspect. And so then that rati, so devotion means that rati or attraction to the Lord. So this rati being directed at the Lord, then the Lord is satisfied because it's originally in the Lord. And so then the Lord who has rati for the devotees, when the devotees have that rati for him, now you have a nice basis of interaction. Moreover, because bhakti is the Lord's shakti, by its very nature, it is different and non-different from him. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. I respond according to the surrender of my devotee, Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Because bhakti appears to be different in the devotee's heart, the Lord experiences astonishing bliss, thinking, his bhakti gives me joy. The srupa bhakti is the quality of appearing different in the Lord and his devotee. So, as the energy of the Lord creates variety, then we see also here is that variety of how bhakti manifests in the Lord and bhakti manifests in the devotee. And so then you have, it gives that feeling of that difference, right? Even though it's one entity, bhakti, it gives that difference. Just like the Lord is non-dual and he is everything at the same time he's separate. So there's a chintabheda bheda tattva, or there's a oneness of bhakti, and then the difference in the manifestation between the Lord and the devotee and the individual devotees. So that's then what gives it, says Lord experiences astonishing bliss, right? So he's so amazed by it. So there's himself, but the point is as it manifests through his devotees, and as he's conscious, everybody's conscious. So that's the whole thing. He's a person, everybody's a person. He's conscious, everybody else is conscious. He has the qualities, they have the qualities. Just he's unlimited, everybody else has a, you know, means the jivas, you know, they have their finite nature. Vishnu expresses this to Durvasa. O Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. I am not at all independent. Right, so we're always looking for that independence, and the Lord who is independent doesn't want to be, means he is independent and doing all his activities, but in relationship, he doesn't like to be independent. He likes to be under the control of the devotees. So that's why then you see as the different realms as you go up, even though everybody's interacting with the Lord, then the aspect of that, how much he's dependent, like in the material world, what's our relationship with the Lord, right? Whether it's we acknowledge him, whether we only see him in the potencies of the material elements, whether we see him you know, in the social structure and everything like that, and he may or may not be there. If we see him that he is there, and I'm a religious person, or we even see him as Brahman or as Paramatma. What is in all of these entities, how does it work? Right? No one's personally trying to do something necessarily to please the Lord as a person. They're all just dealing with him as the Supreme and trying to gain some benefit for themselves in the way of fruit of activities or liberation. Right? So therefore, how is he independent? I mean, dependent. No, he's always independent because everybody else is dependent upon him giving his mercy. Right? So that aspect is there. So there is no other aspect. Then you have the point of then you go up to Shiva Loka, and so they respect him and everything like that. So they may not be asking anything on the material platform, but the same time as that aspect of that liberation being situated there and that respect. So they're doing some worship. Then you go up to Vaikuntha. Then there's that service and all that, but he's the Supreme. And so then, you know, it's always that as the Supreme, then therefore they're worshiping. Then you see as when you get to Golok, now is with the expanded relationships, now there's the things where then the devotees are doing something for the Lord starts to become dependent. Does that make sense? You know, in the relationship. I mean, there's going to be down as long as there's bhakti, there's going to be. So even Vaikuntha, there is that, but he's reciprocating. So when he mentions dependent, he's not independent, means as you surrender, he reciprocates. And this is the way he likes. But then when you get up into like Braj, then there, it's just as the movement of the devotees' devotion unfolds, the Lord just follows that. Right? Because it's the highest expression of bhakti. So he has the highest, being the original source, he'll have the highest position of expression of bhakti. But then when the devotees, they man as part and parcel of him, then they'll have that same quality. Then that, as it said, it gives Krishna experiences astonishing bliss, thinking this bhakti gives me joy. Right? So yeah. So you see, is that somebody was saying?
Yes, Maharaj. So this indicates that bhakti is greater than the Lord.
You can say it's greater than the Lord, but at the same time, you can say it attracts the Lord. It's his shakti. Yeah. So in that way, in relationship, you can say that yes, they can be greater and all that. But in tattva, he's always the absolute truth. But that's the whole point. In Vrindavan, they don't really care that he's the absolute truth or he's God or that. That's not the reason that they're attracted to him or they have an affection for him. Right? In the material platform, then we have that affection because of the benefits we'll get.
Yes.
Right? And that, or that he's God, and so they respect him as the greatest. But it's because he's God. Now, what are his qualities? That's another thing. Like you see, is that the devotees of Vaikuntha, they also appreciate qualities that are there. But then you see, and then Braj, then it's not about his being God. It's not he's God, so we respect him. They like him because of who he is. You know, it's just like, let us say you have a very wealthy person, you know, maybe extremely wealthy, extremely famous, extremely influential. And so basically most everybody that he interacts with knows this. And so then depending upon their position, depending upon their, you know, particular character, their particular relationship, then it'll give different flavors and varieties and that, and it'll be nice. Somebody is a very good worker, very loyal, or, you know, he's a good friend, you know, like that, and all these things. But then let us say he happens to be in some place where people don't know him. You know, he's traveling, let's say the car breaks down, they go and sit down at the petrol station there. Some guy comes driving up, perhaps be there, and you know, he has to wait a bit. So he sits down on the bench next to him and they start up a conversation. And just because of the nature of their personalities, it's a very agreeable relationship.
Right? Yes.
American colloquial will be they hit it off. So, and so like that, they may develop a very nice relationship and all that. And, you know, hey, where are you headed? Oh, I'm going here. Oh, me too. And like that. And, you know, okay, you know, and then he asks, they say, hey, when you're here, can I come and visit or we'll meet here? And then maybe later he finds out, but it won't change the relationship. Yes. If it's, you know, if it has some depth, it won't change the relationship as well. Wow. Okay. You're doing okay. You know, like that. But so there'll be a special flavor in that relationship as opposed to others who they know him as the big guy and therefore become friendly. This guy became friendly. He didn't know who he was. And you know, that wasn't important. You know, in the conversation, they don't even necessarily get into what they do. Or if it's just a casual, oh, what are you doing? Yeah, oh, yeah, business. Oh, okay, cool. You know, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this. And, you know, I work at this place or, you know, whatever it is. And so then they don't get into details. They just enjoy each other's company. So that's the Brajbasis. They like Krishna just because of who he is as a person. So that's why you see Braj as the full manifestation of Bhagavan. Because it's just the sweetness. It's just about him. So when you say sweetness, it means it's just based on his qualities that are his wonderful qualities. And especially those last four qualities. Well, then in Goloka, then you're going to find that they're going to have that aspect of the sweetness, but there's also that aspect of majesty. And so they do know he's God and they have a close relationship. You know, so just like you have those who have a relationship with that big guy who is very formal, they just do the work, yes sir, no sir, and everything. And then there's those guys that are more friendly and more close. But, you know, when it comes down to it, if there's a big board meeting or this and that, and he's chairing and all, then everybody goes into that servant mood. You know,
yes.
Does that make sense? You know, well, if that friend somehow or another walked in, you go, wow, this is serious, you know, and, what's going on here? Oh, we're having a meeting and all that. Oh, okay, so I'll come back later and on. You know, and then he goes out and sits in the lobby or whatever. Does that make sense? So you see, it's just a difference in the flavor there. So this bhakti, because the qualities of Krishna, you know, because the Satkaryavad, then whatever's inherent in him, then is going to be there in the effect. In its particular, you know, as an anga. And so that anga of bhakti in all the different devotees, that is so special to Krishna, right? So that's then the whole point that is being brought out, is that he's so he's not independent. I'm not at all independent. My heart is controlled by the pure devotees, because the pure devotees means it's about him, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
As a person. To what degree it is, that's another thing. But the point is when it's pure devotion, then that bhakti, that rati, that controls the Lord.
Yes.
You know, and he'll reciprocate if they're in the position of majesty or in sweetness or mixed, he reciprocates accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes. Okay. My heart is controlled by the pure devotees. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Right? So you have the devotee, so therefore following the devotee, that's a very good position. So we always identify ourselves as the servant of the servant. Right? We're never trying to be the servant. We're the servant of the servant. So if in being the servant of the servant, there's service for us to do that may be direct to the Lord, then that's what's important. But being the assistant to That's the important aspect. You know what I'm saying? Because that then also in that, then that creates also the aspect of the variety for the Lord. Right? And that variety is then harmonious. Because you want to, the variety is there, but it also has to be harmonious. Like, let's say you have a menu or a meal, and it has lots of variety, but the meal, the menu, each, all the items are harmonious with the others. Right? They go together. Does that make sense? So that would be the position. Is that everything has to be mixed properly. Everything goes together as items, and then they're spicing and this and that and like that. Like, I remember is someone was, you know, they were working at a menu, and someone said, oh, what about this prep? And then someone said, yeah, what about that? And, oh, no, but the spicing is too similar. You know, or if we're going to do this, we should change it to this and that to make it so there's variety, but it all matches. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. So that's going to be the position, is you're going to see that all that goes on nicely. So then in that, you'll see that the devotees, then that's what, as servant of the servant, then they're going to be doing a specific service because it matches in with all the other services that are going on. But you have to see that whole picture. That makes sense. So therefore, then, if all the devotees are serving the Lord and pleasing the Lord, let's say there's darshan. So then in darshan of the Lord, then there's going to be the Lord with his main associates, and then there's going to be other senior persons, and then everybody like that. But because one's getting darshan and one is very happy with that, one doesn't stand directly in front of the deities, because then no one else could see. It's not harmonious. Maybe, yes, you're expressing your relationship with the Lord, but then the Lord has a relationship with everybody else. It has to match. So how are you serving your spiritual master by standing in front of the deities that no one else can see? Right? So if you see that I'm serving the servant, then that makes you consider the environment. Because that's the whole point. When you say time, place you have to see. Place means all the ingredients, right? How those ingredients operate, you know? Then, you know, what they can do. Then you have the circumstance, which then means yourself and your qualification and how you fit into that place. Right, so standing in front of everybody, you don't have that qualification. That's not your position. That's not your service. Right, but now if the pujari, let's say they're offering the flowers and all that, and at the end they walk up in front of the altar and throw all flowers on the Lord's lotus feet, and that, and then go back. No one goes, hey, move out of the way. You know, we can't see it. Nobody does that. But you see that all the guys with the cameras, they go up there, everybody wants them to move. Right? Because the pujari is just thinking, I'm serving my spiritual master, serving Krishna. While the guy with the camera thinks, yeah, I'm the big guy here because these guys are seeing, but I have the camera, the whole world will see. You know? And so they take it that they're the special person. And that's why it's so annoying. Because the attitude is wrong. They're not thinking I'm serving the servant. They think, oh, I'm serving all the devotees. But then, okay, these devotees can't see because the world's seeing. So that means the volume of people is more important than the individual. So that means your mentality is that of mass. So if you're worried about mass, and you're not worried about the mass as a group of individuals, but just mass as mass, that means the volume, that means it's numbers, that means it's impersonal. It means you're putting yourself down on the level of an artist. Or the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, we're going to think of that it's mass, but as individuals. So it's just another mundane approach. Ultimately, it'll be offered to Krishna, but why is it if you're on internet, you can see, but if you're actually there live, you can't see? Because people think, oh, this is so wonderful, I wish I was there. But no, you don't want to be there because the other guys have already decided that you're there. You don't matter. It's all the guys that aren't there that matter. Does that make sense? So because they're not seeing themselves as servant of the servant and then seeing how as serving whoever they're serving, their spiritual master, or the devotees, how it works. And so therefore they think I am doing. And so therefore, if you don't control it, about 5, 6, 10, 20 people up there with their cameras and they'll all claim the same thing. Every one of them will say, oh, but I'm sending it to this one or that one. What about the people who are here? There's 500 people here, so they can't see because you're sending it to your mother and, you know, sister. Oh, no, but we're sending out to the world and all that. Yeah, but they can watch it at any time. So therefore, if we want to have darshan, we have to go onto the internet. Then why? Nobody should come. It just should be you and the deities. You understand? So they're not understanding the time, place, and circumstance. Right? The time, it's a festival and all that. So does that make sense? So that's the whole point is that's why God made, telescopic lenses. You know, the guy has that fancy camera this big that he made you pay for, you know, so he can stand in front of you. You can't take darshan, but you paid for that lens so he can stand back and go in and get the picture. Those are the best photographers. The photographer you don't see, they get the best shot because their mentality is the best. They get the good shot. They get the shot that lasts, the classic shot, because they have the attitude, I'm serving Krishna, while the other one thinks I'm special because I got a camera. Does that make sense? Now, we're not trying to be discriminatory against people with cameras, you know, like that. We're just trying to point out that sometimes we see is that people don't consider I'm servant of the servant. Therefore, they try to take part, but in a way that excludes others. You know, it's just like someone comes up for the Abhishek. If it's up to them, they'll just keep pouring. You know, they won't care. Oh, but it's so wonderful. What about all the other people? You know, or the guy with the chamara, he's in front of the deities. No, no one can see. No, but I wanted to see their face. Yes, so does everybody else. Their service is seeing the face. Your service is chamara. Chamara, even if it's behind, you're able to do chamara. So you want to do your service and their service, but they can't do their service. This is what I mean. We're not seeing servant of the servant. So it's a very important point because if we're saying he's controlled by the pure devotees, and because we've taken shelter, me, the one who is the devotee of my devotee is more dear, because then they consider like that and consider all the other devotees above them and below them. But if they only consider themselves, then that they have attraction, Krishna's going to appreciate, but he's not going to appreciate it as much as when you actually see your service in the context of others. It expands because it's relationship, it expands. And so then that's the point. So as long as we make it self-centered, like when we get into the sentimental, then people think it's about themselves. The sentimental means the emotional means it's about the person. We take it, the emotional is about myself. But if you have an emotional thing, it's about the person that it's directed towards, who's the object. But we make ourselves. You know, so it's about me, my experience. You know, me getting the good experience. And if I don't, then I'm the victim. So it's just self-centered. And so when it's self-centered like that, for your own benefit, not caring for everybody else, then according to Taittiriya Upanishad, that is anamoy. Right? So that's our natural platform. Then we try to connect that to Krishna. And so we're doing service and all that. And in most cases, it won't create a problem at all. because you're trying to do something nice for Krishna. But now and again, when you're working with other people, that's when you notice that someone's acting more on anamoy. Those who've got all these social and political issues and all that, then they're working on pranamoy. That's why it becomes so much of a disturbance. Or then they're attached to, these are the God's laws and all that. You have to do this. If not, you're going to hell and all that. They're attached to the manamoy. Or no, it's all, it's just all this. We have to see, all the different things. And it's, they only talk about the supreme like this, and then it becomes in person. But the devotee, it's about Krishna as a person. It may be, so Braj will be the Bhagavan of Bhagavan aspect. Well, you see, then Vaikuntha and these places, that'll be Paramatma of Bhagavan. And Shantaras will be Brahman of Bhagavan. But it's all about the Lord. Right? So we have to see is that these things are for the Lord. Then he says, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So if it's just about you and it's just you coming forward, then as Krishna was discussing with Radharani, then it's being pointed out that with this Sarup Shakti, she is non-different from him. He's the unlimited Supreme Lord. She's the unlimited Supreme Shakti. So that means the internal potency means that the Sarup Shakti, that Shakti can fully satisfy the Lord, because every aspect of his personality and desires and wishes, can be fulfilled by that one Shakti. Then just as he expands into so many things, then she expands into so many nice devotees. And so then you see like that. So that means then it's explained that Sarup Shakti, that is like Mount Meru. Anyone other than her, that's like a mustard seed. So therefore, if you want to approach Krishna directly and not worry about anything else, then it's Krishna and a mustard seed. And you come in that, he will reciprocate. But if you come as servant of the servant of the servant, then it's Mount Meru and a mustard seed. So it means it's that unlimited and then one more. So that's the whole idea, is that we're trying to therefore be servant of the servant of the servant. A larger time says servant of the servant of the servant, 100 times or 1,000 times removed like that, because then that pleases Krishna more. That makes sense. So that's how it goes. So then in that way, then there's so many mustard seeds. So we have to see that, because the time, place, and circumstance means all that. It's not whimsical. Dharma means the laws of God. That's what it means. So the laws of God are there, and because they're laws of God, they're eternal. That's why dharma means the inherent nature of something that doesn't change, because that's God's law. God made it that way. That particular nature, what it's supposed to do in any particular situation, that then is where you look at time, place, and circumstance. What's the time? What's it? What is done at this time? Because with time, things are done, activities are performed. Then place means in this place, what activities can be performed? What is the knowledge and skills and techniques and all that can be accomplished, what results can be accomplished. And then circumstance means the individual and how they fit into that. What's their qualification? How do they fit into that? Right? Because otherwise it says, no, anybody can do anything. No, it's not. God's laws are there, and that's where they are. Why don't you use your water bottle to hammer in a nail? You can say, well, that's not logical. Well, neither is the statement that anybody can do anything. Everybody can be involved in bhakti. Everybody can have that devotion to the Lord. Everybody can express that, but everybody has their position in which to express it. Right? Now, go back to that previous one. Okay, we have an Abhishek on the stage. And you have, like we said, 500 devotees there. So there's a group, there's one group is there, kind of heading up the kirtan. There'll be, the madanga players, the singer, and, all whatever else is there. And so they kind of, one person sings and everybody else follows, right? Now, what if everybody wanted to sing? Right? Either they'd all be singing chorus if they did that, but each one thinks, no, I think it should be this song. And that one thinks it should be that song. And then everybody's singing. And because it's all equal, then everybody gets a mic. Now, what do you have? According to the dictionary definition, technically it's called a cacophony. It's complete insanity. It means absolutely useless. Or everybody wants to play drum and they want to play in their own way. Somebody sings, someone plays drum. You don't need 500 drums. Right? Others sing like that. Somebody does the puja. How many people can pour the substances? Only if 500 want to get up on the stage and all do the puja? So that's the thing. Everybody does whatever it is that where they fit according to their qualification. And then it works. Just like that. Yeah. So we have to see is that these are very, very important aspects of practical application of this bhakti. Because otherwise, we'll talk about it, but in practical application is this is what it means. When you say anybody can do everything, yes, anybody who has the qualification can do. You can't say someone without the qualification can do. That's the difficulty when you deal with these political platitudes. Because then you said everybody's equal, then to what degree does everybody become equal? To make it happen, it gets down into very, very extreme control, to make sure it's equal. Well, the idea was they're talking about equality as freedom. But if you enforce it, that equality actually becomes tyranny. If it's not done, or fascism, it's not done in the way as given by Krishna and his laws. So we have to see is that when we have in here, it's not sentimental. It means there's emotions and everything, but it's not sentimental. It's not mental speculation, just whatever I feel like. It's like whatever you feel like that you're qualified for. So therefore, everybody does their different services. And that's why there's variety and all this. But the thing is for Krishna, everybody is engaged in their devotional service. So for Krishna, then it's all that's where the equalness is. Everybody is there. Krishna is reciprocating with everybody according to how they surrender. That's equal. That's the whole point. The Lord's actions are without hatred or prejudice. So no matter what you're doing, Krishna will reciprocate. It's not that you get more mercy for one thing and less for another, right? It means if you have that sincere devotion, you'll get that full amount of reciprocation as with someone else. Right? But we're thinking, no, it's by volume or it's by a specific service, what's most prestigious or what's most publicly seen. It's like you say, equal service. Yeah, come in the back. We need plenty of people to, squeeze all the fruit and grind all the spices. And, it's just like Chandan Yatra. Anybody can come and grind Chandan. And a few people do come forward and do a little bit, and a few people do a lot. But are all 500 in the temple doing? No. But it's there. You can do. But the point is they're grinding all day. Who's going to notice other than the Lord? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is equal opportunity is there, but that means you, your nature, your abilities, what you can do in the proper time, the proper place, the proper circumstance, then you can do that. But to say that there is no such thing as time, place, and circumstance, and at the same time complain that, oh, this Vedic is just theory. What about, you know, being practical, time, place, and circumstance? But the point is it has to be understood what that means. So time, place, circumstance means you're, you know, whatever the qualification, whatever, everything, but you're still servant of the servant of the servant. And so in that way, then it has to be seen. Then it works out. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Without the devotees who take shelter of only me, I do not desire to enjoy my own bliss by my six great qualities, right? Because his rasa is there, but it's nothing special. He is God. He does encompass everything. It is all him, right? But that on its own doesn't really give much, doesn't, it isn't something that Krishna desires. It's already him. So therefore, that aspect of his bliss, then combined with the devotees, that individuality of that blissness, you know, then that then becomes something special to the Lord. Ah, that was it. Childhood and childness. Remember the other day we were trying to find those words? There's childhood and childness. So Krishna is the childness, and then there's the manifestation through his energies of childhood. So childhood can manifest because there's childness, right? But we see there is, you see it from childhood. In the childhood, you see the qualities of the child. But without the childness, you know, the inherent nature of it, there is no manifestation, right? Means there are, you won't see the nature of children unless that nature is originally there in Krishna. So Shaktis can manifest it. But at the same time, as without that depends on Krishna, they can't manifest it. So you see the qualities because of the energies, but the energies are dependent upon Krishna. So childness exists whether there's any children or not. Cooking exists whether anybody is cooking or not. Like that. What is that saying? Haladarnita is the host. Okay. So does that make sense? All these aspects are there that you have to understand. That's the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. They're non-different, but you so one is independent, one's dependent. Childhood is dependent on childness, but childness doesn't manifest until you see childhood. And this works if your language has these two elements. So if you're from Hungary, I apologize, because there is no difference in these terms. They can't. It's always interesting in the class. They have trouble explaining this. Does that make sense? So therefore, you're going to have all these aspects that he, you know, himself, there, he is the essence of everything. And so he and in his desire, in his ananda, that rasa, he encompasses everything because it's all him. But the point is it's the manifestation of that individual bhakti in the individual devotee that then makes him inspired to interact. Because with everything else, it's just existing and it's his. And so therefore, it exists, he exists, and they all just hang out in existence. But it's when there's that aspect. So there's some pleasure in just existing, But when you make it dynamic, then the two combine because there's willpower. So because of the willpower, then you want to do something. And so wanting to do something for Krishna's pleasure, Krishna wants to reciprocate and do something for the devotee. Does this make sense? Yeah. Okay, so does it, I do not, okay, without the devotees who take shelter of only me, right, me is the pure devotees, I do not desire to enjoy my own bliss by my six great qualities, right, because six great qualities means Bhagavan. So, you know, being Bhagavan, being the person, you know, what does that mean if there's not other people to interact with that are dealing on that platform of devotion? Because otherwise, then, others are dealing with him as Brahman and Paramatma, and he just reciprocates like that. Why would he deal with them as Bhagavan? Because they're not dealing with him. So it's only with the pure devotees. Then you see, that natural exchange based on him as a person and them as a person takes place. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who see others suffering as their own and are completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. My devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Swarupya, Samipya, and Sharshti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. Right? Devotees automatically get these, but they may be focused on a particular one, and so that will take a prominence. So we see in Vaikuntha, because these four are the nature of Vaikuntha. In other words, Vaikuntha is a personal liberation. It's about liberation, but it's personal. So then they as a person are in that liberated state, you know, in service to the Lord. So they're in that state. That's their situation is liberation. But then they serve the Lord. So that still that service to the Lord becomes the prominence. So that's why then they come to the point where they're not even interested in these four. They're just interested in the service to the Lord. And as Krishna says, these automatically are achieved by their service. So if you want service to the Lord, you automatically attain the liberation. But if your goal is liberation, but the liberation, what's its point if you're not serving the Lord? Right? That's why we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya was not overly impressed when he went through South India, and the Vaishnavas say that they were interested in you know, Vaishnav liberation as a goal. He said, what's your ultimate goal? You know, and that was Vaishnav liberation. So depending upon the line, they may have Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, or Sharsti as their prominence. But the point is that's not a goal. That's a situation. The goal is to serve Krishna, right? And so, therefore, he was saying this is not complete. You could say, no, but it's correct and this and that. It's correct up to a point. You know, up to a point it's correct. In that it's part of the equation, but it's not the equation. The equation is service. That makes sense? So it's not a goal. Liberation is not a goal. It just comes along. You're in a situation. You know, you want to cook, you're in the kitchen. Your goal is not to get into the kitchen. Your goal is to cook. And and when you do that, you happen to be in the kitchen. You're in the kitchen, you have all the paraphernalia, you know, all the different things, all the activities. It all goes along with it. But cooking is the main thing. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. We get distracted by the Lord's energies and think those are important. Because the essential point, the cooking, is the real thing. All the other things, that's the secondary. Right? Does that make sense? You know, just, yeah. Yes. Okay. So those who are completely attached to me in the core of the heart, bringing me under their full control. My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my service are not interested in even the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Swarupya, Samiti, and Sharshti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of any perishable happiness? Right? If liberation comes automatically, perishable happiness, well, they're not even interested in those at all. The pure devotee is my very heart. What pains him pains me. I am the heart of the pure devotee. So they are Krishna's heart and Krishna is their heart. And what pleases him pleases me. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know more than they do. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.63.68. So in connection with that individual, what they're experiencing, then that's what the Lord is seeing. That's what he's experiencing. So there's common ground, because otherwise there's not, then how do you have a relationship? So this is what he told Durvasa Muni when he came and asked the Lord to save him. You know, okay, it's one thing if so many other regular things are going on, but he's offended. He's trying to kill a devotee, you know, and so, or, you know, chastise a devotee. So Sudarshan didn't appreciate that. So he's being chased by Sudarshan for this. And he says, you know, it's all about the devotee. The yogi saying, no, you know, I come and take shelter. Yes, but the devotee is taking shelter of me. So I have a relationship there. So how can I give that up? You know, the thing is this, what about me? It says, yeah, but you, it's the servant of the servant. So when you go and surrender to Ambarish Maharaj, now you become important. But just on your own, because you're a yogi, it's like, okay, what can you do? You can run around the universe. Took him a whole year to run around the universe. But still, he got around the universe in a year, right? And so, but the point is, you know, he might be able to do a few other things and this and that. And compared to anybody else in the universe, it's very great, very special. But compared to the Lord, right? You know, it's just like Durvasa has his mystic powers and all that, but they spend their time at Brahmaloka. That's where the yogis can hang out. But that means Brahma has everything that they have in much greater quantities. And then Brahma, he became, distracted thinking that, you know, him being Brahma and all this. And then he tries his different pastimes. And then we see, you know, the one when he stole the cows and calves and Krishna just become all the unlimited powered boys and calves, you know, and then everything and all living entities, everything was worshiping him. And then, you know, all other Brahmas from other universes were coming. You know, then he sees this, okay, you know, Krishna. So the point is, you know, you can't impress Krishna because you're a yogi, you know, or a jnani, or, you know, expert in this and that, because all these things come from Krishna. The nature of yoga, yoga-ness comes from Krishna. And Dhruvasa is manifesting a certain portion of and volume of yoga-hood. You know, just that nature. But the inherent nature, that's Krishna. So that's the whole point, is that therefore, if you're going to Krishna, you have to go to Krishna through the devotees. You have to connect to the parampara. You think, well, why can't I check connect straight? No, the connections have already been made. Right? So you have the four sampradayas. Within that, you have your particular devotees. Within that, you have which devotees you're following. You know, Vrindavan is very big, you know, wide arrangement, and different devotees are following different other devotees. And we have our line. We have as Gaudiyas, we have our particular connection line. We're Rupa Nugas. We're following Rupa Goswami. So that's where we connect in. Others may be following other devotees. But this is what we as Gaudiyas, what we do. You know, so then like that, it all happens. Yes? No? Kind of? Yeah. Verse 65 to 67. Is that here? Oh, okay, within this. Show that the Lord has gratitude. Verse 68 shows that the inherent satisfaction of the Lord is not destroyed in receiving bliss from the devotee. Right? Everything just keeps on naturally happening and all that. And so then... Yeah, so that it doesn't go away. He becomes satisfied, but it's not that it becomes destroyed. It's ever increasing, that relationship. Verse 63. Yeah, so it means the 68. The Lord knowing the devotee knowing the Lord, and that reciprocation, and that's the basis of the relationship. And so then the Lord is very happy. And 64 shows that bhakti is the essence of Ladini Shakti. Verse 67 also shows that the Lord enters the devotee in the form of bhakti. Therefore, the mentioned fault does not occur. We should examine the second fault, the Lord's prejudice. So that's that there's hatred or this or that. Okay, so then this fault therefore doesn't come up. So you can say it's Durvasa Muni. He didn't like Durvasa Muni. No, it's because between him and the devotees. That's where the relationship is. You connect with the devotees and you're part of the scene. Because everything is all part of the Lord's energy. So it's a natural position for everyone to be in the position of devotee. Okay, so now we should examine the second fault that is being claimed about prejudice. There are two modes for giving bliss. For fulfilling one's own purposes through another person to whom one gives the bliss, and for fulfilling that other person's desire. The first one does not apply, since the Lord is not prejudiced in acting only for himself. The second mode arises by experiencing another suffering and joy, and by sympathy with another person, since it is impossible for mercy to appear, one does not feel another's suffering. And has only some knowledge of the suffering. Right. Okay. A person not pierced by a thorn does not desire the pain of a person so pierced, since by seeing symptoms of his pain, he develops sympathy with him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:10:14. So then he has that, then there's some understanding there. So therefore, then that natural feeling is there. However, the Lord does not have the experience of material suffering, or suffering in the form of material happiness. It's interesting how he worded it. However, the Lord does not have the experience of material suffering. Okay, so we're going to say, yeah, all the bad things. It says, or the suffering in the form of material happiness. So both are suffering. Very, very clever wording. Just as there's no darkness in the sun, though the owl sees light as darkness, since he is free of fault and full of bliss. Right? Some people with the desire to remove the Lord's relation to suffering say the following. He has knowledge of the experience of suffering, but that remains only as knowledge of another's experience and not his own. But that reason is merely, quote, arriving at the toll gate in the morning, end quote, is another way of ending up with the same problem of making the Lord indifferent. Right, so they're trying to explain it, and then it's still the same problem. It doesn't matter what when you show up at the toll gate, you still have the point of the toll. Right, it's not that if you show up in the morning, it's one thing. You show up in the evening, or you go in the evening and then you don't have money, so I'll show up in the morning. You still have to pay. The experience of suffering is a touch of suffering in the antakarna, whether it is for oneself or another person. There is no distinction in that regard. The fault of the Lord not having complete knowledge of this is rejected by the example. The fault of the Lord not having complete knowledge of this is rejected by the example of the sun, which shines everywhere. His knowledge of the suffering becomes a good quality on his part. But although he knows about the suffering of others, he does not experience suffering. For it is the jivas who continually experience suffering in the material world. Whereas the Lord is capable of doing anything, of not doing anything, and of changing anything, and always remaining the highest bestower of mercy. Thus the Lord cannot be accused of being cruel. Right? The sun is always shining. And that there may be darkness, and you can have knowledge that there is darkness if you're not in the sun, but the sun doesn't experience that. Right? So you can't say he's cruel because he doesn't experience it. You know, because here is we experience in that, and their pain is like this. So for Krishna, then it's the devotion, because all these others are just situations. And then how you're taking them, right? The devotee's happiness is having bhakti for the Lord. Their suffering is simply a delay in attaining the Lord. Because of that, the devotee's heart longs for the Lord. That melting of the heart is bhakti. When Gajendra suffered materially, he developed bhakti on remembering the Lord is my shelter. The devotion of Narada and other devotees, like the Yamal Arjuna trees, is also clear. Right, so then they see, they come in contact, then they have that desire for the Lord, you know. So then that bhakti is this, and the suffering is simply not attaining the Lord. Realizing the bhakti in the suffering devotee, the Lord develops compassion, but not for material suffering. But when there is a detected cause, it is incorrect to prescribe something improper. The Lord should then destroy the whole material world, since it's the cause of suffering. Even if there are successive causes of suffering, can the Lord be blamed? Thus, it should be concluded that the experience of bhakti in the devotee, while others being blissful or suffering, inspires the Lord to give bliss to the devotees. The Lord is not prejudiced. Right? Because you can say, oh, but they're suffering because of the material world. But the point is this, no, they're suffering because of not having a relationship with him, or they're suffering on that platform of being separated from him. So that aspect he can relate to. But the aspect of what's coming from the material world, that not necessarily, because the actual point is, if you're suffering, why is that? Because of improper, the result of improper activities. Why are they improper? Because they're not in line with the Lord's instructions. They're irreligious. And even if they are religious, then they give good facility for the body and mind, but they're not, that's not the soul. So again, that's irreligious, that it's not the nature. The law of God is not that the living entity identifies as the body and mind, right? They identify as servant of Krishna. So then the suffering comes, that happiness and suffering that comes up from that position, that's then what the Lord reciprocates. But these other things, that's not what he's reciprocating. It may come through those mediums, but it's based on the bhakti. Because we see, if you have a materialist, then only through karma does the Lord reciprocate. They did good work, they get the results. So therefore, as the lawmaker, as the witness, as the judge, right? Like that, then he reciprocates with them as they do their good karma, they'll get the good result. They don't do good karma, they don't get the good result. You know, very, very straightforward. But with the devotee, then it's about the devotional service. And then you're going to express that as a person to a person through the situation they're in, but it's not about the material world. So it's not about removing the material suffering, it's about bringing you closer to Krishna. You become more Krishna conscious, the suffering goes away. That's the actual position. That's why the pure devotees don't become disturbed by these things. But at the same time, the situations may not be comfortable, and then Krishna, considering the reciprocation with the devotee, then these things are done. But it's done out of devotion. It's not done because of the material world. Right? It's two different things. So,
Maharaj?
Yes.
We see the mature devotee, like one of the qualities of a devotee in bhava is he's always Krishneka Sharanam. He always surrendered to Krishna. So
yeah,
whatever is his situation, he always takes that shelter and is dependent. So yeah, obviously in case of whatever suffering, he always is surrendered. That is that aspect of bhakti, because of which that reciprocation is there. But a person like the four kinds of people who come to Krishna in the initial mm-hmm. stage, one of them is one who is distressed. That is just a medium from where he is just connecting himself. So basically, yeah, there is a huge difference in the mood, though a person yes. is approaching.
Yes. So yes. So Krishna reciprocates that surrender. And that, and the other, yes, the others end up connecting, and then it becomes very nice. So it's a stepping stone we naturally see. So it's just a matter of being clear where it is, because we're going to take it that our position is the standard. You know, we're the gold standard rather than no, Krishna's the gold standard. Dharma means Krishna's laws, not our laws. That's the problem in the modern society. They think is no, our laws are the eternal laws that you know, everything has to run in this way. But then if you try to apply them, you'll see it always fails. It always fails. You know, I mean, even you take it in the modern thing, you take the tendency towards the left, you know, like that. And you're going to the, from the left, you're going to the socialism, then you're going to the communism and all these things like that. But you'll see is that they've never worked. Right? You try to apply them, an extremely left position doesn't work. Right, you know, the ideals, they say, oh, everyone's equal and everyone has the same. It doesn't work. It never has. And so therefore, you see those states that went into those kind of positions, then they fall apart because there's no economics. Right, because if I work, and no matter if I work more or less, I'm going to get the same amount. Why would I work more? Right. And so then it's not a system that's going to dynamically achieve much. And so they fall apart, and they have to include that economic or that capitalistic aspect, because that's how business works, is making profit, and is your profit. Then they can take tax. That's the normal way of working. And so you see is those big communist states or previous communist states, they're only functioning because of they've added that economic thing. And that's the one point of communism. They remove the vaishyas. You just have the shudras. You don't have any in charge. There's no intellect. You remove all three varnas and only leave shudras. How is that a complete society? Right? But if you have, it's just centered on economics and not considering the workers, the administration, and the intellectuals, that's wrong also. Or the intellectuals just about themselves. You have to have all four balanced. That's the Vedic system. So in here is that when you see is that Dharma means Krishna's laws. And so when I bring it into that line, then I can start to see Krishna as a person and how he thinks and does. But I'm thinking, no, I'm here in the material world. I've surrendered to Krishna. All the problems in the material world should go away. But the problem comes with that. Then we're thinking that material world can be a perfect place. If I remove all the problems, then I just stay here. The point is no, you're only becoming aware of the problems that are there. Right? Because otherwise, if there's not a problem, you think it's a fabulous place, when it's actually, no, it's always, it's about Krishna. So when you're focused on Krishna, whether it's nice or not nice, then you come to the proper platform. Then you express, as we mentioned before, the activities go on in a place with knowledge and skills, with willpower, and with, you know, endeavors that get results. That's the personal means, that reciprocation. That's where it comes from, is in personal rasa. Right? That's where all those features come from. You know, and so when we take those features and try to present them separate, like he's being professional because it's not about, you know, personal, you know. But then, yes, okay, it's not self-centered, you know, but at the same time as then they make it that it's not about them at all. It's just about the economics. But then who's the economics for? Whoever runs the company. So it's about them. So yes, you can do that selfless, but it's still not a complete philosophy because it's just coming from the top. You're not dealing with the how well is he serving the guy on the top? So he is a person who's put in that effort. So that's why in the past, someone could retire, they get a pension because it was appreciated how much work that they put in for the company. But nowadays, they try to get rid of this pension thing, you know, when they can. A guy works for the whole company, you know, for the last 30, 40, 50 years. Then he comes to, you know, he's going to retire like that. You know, after 6 months is his retiree, then he'll get his pension. And all that, they fire him 6 months before just so he won't get the pension. You know, so stuff like this. So we're not dealing with balance here. We're not dealing with understanding what is actual the reality. So therefore, then we don't understand, we tend to not understand Krishna's position. Because we're only in this material problem from not connecting with Krishna. So Krishna doesn't have a problem dealing with us on the platform of the time, place, and circumstance that we're in, you know, and trying to create a favorable environment. The problem is that are we trying to create a favorable environment and that is based on bhakti or connected to the Lord, right? You know, if it's just business that I'm doing this, I'm approaching you to solve this problem, then based on a business thing, then okay, then what are you putting into it? You have to pay. You want this problem to go away, you have to be performing the good karma. That is the proper standard. Then you'll see it will go away. You know? But if it's just, you know, it'll just go away without me doing anything, then that's another thing. So either you've done in the past, you have the attitude of someone who's doing like that. We see there's so many ways the Lord can reciprocate. But then it comes down to it, but that's not pure devotion. Pure devotion is about, as I mentioned, is that there are two modes of giving bliss, for fulfilling one's own purposes through another person to whom one gives the bliss. In other words, I make another person happy to make myself happy, right? I have a goal I want to get. I make another person happy because through them I can get what I want. Then the other is want to give, okay. And for fulfilling that other person's desire. That's the second, is that I'm just simply trying to make the other person happy. So that's bhakti. So Krishna is going to deal in such a way that that aspect of bhakti will become prominent and not that they're turning to the Lord simply to get what they want. You can start that way because at least you connect with him so you can start a relationship. But ultimately the relationship has to be based on you as a person and him as a person in your relationship. Yeah. Okay. Udriti, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura elaborates on this aspect in Jiva Dharma as follows. Vrajana, Sri Krishna is Karuna Maya, unlimitedly merciful. Yet why did he create such weak jivas? As a result of their weakness, they become lured into subjugation by Maya, right? This is just very nicely explained what many ask, right? Raghunath Das Babaji, what you say is true. Krishna is Karuna Maya, but he is also Leela Maya, dynamic and eternally engages in pastimes. With a view that the jiva could become an active partner for his various leelas, the Supreme Lord has made him versatile and capable of rising from his humble position as a marginal being to the soaring heights of Mahabhava, the highest spiritual consciousness, which is unlimited and transcendental. To make the jiva strongly determine and facilitate its ascension to this divine position, the Lord has also created the various levels of material energy from gross matter up to ahankara, which reaches its depths with misidentification of matter. Should the jiva choose the path of material progress, The inert matter presents practically insurmountable obstacles in the jiva's search for supreme happiness. The jivas who are moving down to this material engagement, seeking only to satisfy their senses, are divorced from their sarup and thus increasingly distance themselves from the Supreme Lord. They become more and more depraved, but the infinitely compassionate Lord, with his transcendental abode and eternal associates, descends to earth and appears before them in person to offer them the opportunity of elevation to the highest spiritual destination. The jivas who take this opportunity to elevate themselves gradually rise in the transcendental realm and acquire the same position as the Nitya Parshadas, right? So the whole one can say is, okay, why do they have, you know, the weakness? Why do they have that independence that they get overwhelmed by Maya? Because they're so small, the position that they're in is going to remain small. But he's made them inherently that they can move from that small position to a very great position. So the eternal associates of the Lord, they're all internal potency. You know, that Radharani, Mother Jashoda, Nanda, Sudama, Sridama, Subal, they're all internal potency. They're not jivas. There may be jivas amongst them that are serving, cowherd boys and gopis like maidservants and all these other things that are serving. But the point is they're all internal potency, all the big. So what they're experiencing, you can experience by coming up to that level. So that's what the independence is for. Since you can come up like this, means if you take shelter of that energy, you can come up to that level. But if you take shelter of the Maya, then you'll get absorbed in that. So that's the whole point. So you can come to the point of being basically non-different from matter by being so much in ignorance, like a rock or something, that you're as good as dead matter. So, you know, you can come to the, you know, that's the thing. You can go up to the highest or down to the lowest. So it's given that choice. But the point is it's for coming up to the highest platform. If you say, no, we should just be what we are, then you're going to be 1/10,000th the tip of the hair and stay like that. Right? So that's the wonderfulness of the Lord. So that's why he said it's Lila Maya. And so you can take part in those pastimes on that energetic level, like the eternal associates do. Yeah. Good. Rajanath, why must the individual soul suffer so that the Lord can enjoy these Leelas? Raghunath Das Babaji. One could consider that to possess and exercise free will is indeed a special grace of Sri Krishna. Inert matter is without free will, hence non-essential and extraneous. The jiva, because it's not, you don't need Maya. That's why it's external in that, and Krishna doesn't have any involvement with it. It means it's all him and it's his energy and, you know, and that and his potencies make it all function, but he personally doesn't need to interact with it because it's unconscious. But the jiva, being conscious, then he has that free will. The jiva, on the other hand, by asserting his free will, has attained the position of lordship over the material world. Suffering and pleasure are different conditions of the mind. What we call suffering, another person attached to the same condition will define as pleasure. Right? The same thing, like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, I always find it, you're in the West, in particular seasons of the year, what has particular climactic experiences. And after putting on sufficient clothes, you step outside. And I'm thinking, wow, this is cold. And the person next to me takes this really deep breath of enjoyment, you know, fresh. And I'm thinking, no, cold. Freezing. And that, so for them, it's happiness. And for me, it's not the same exact, you know, we're this far apart. So we're breathing basically the same air. It's not that I'm getting freezing air and this far away, they're getting that nice, warm, tropical air. So that's the thing is that he's pointing out is this position, same position, one will call it happiness, one will call it distress. So to say, oh, why does the Lord expect? Because it's the same thing can be taken as both. So he's only involved where bhakti is involved. That's the thing, because unconscious matter, why he has to get involved. Sure. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.